Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's going to be kind of a short episode, but I wanted to revisit something that I talked about 10 years ago, long before I had a podcast, that is still an issue in our culture today. So I didn't think I'd still be talking about this 10 years later. So much has happened in the last 10 years. I've got married. I have a family. I've gained about 50 pounds, as you'll see from this picture that I'm about to share. I've lost more of my hair. Lots of changes happening in my life and a lot of changes happening in our culture. But there's a cultural moment 10 years ago that I posted on Facebook, and my post absolutely went viral. It was shared hundreds of thousands of times. I ended up doing some interviews with news outlets as people were talking about this, and it had to do with Starbucks. So here's the backstory. There was a provocateur, we'll call him, a decade ago. I think he might still be around. I don't know. There's plenty of provocateurs who just like stirring things up. So he might be out there somewhere, still doing his thing. But he was going on this rampage about Starbucks. So Starbucks had come out with their new Christmas cups, as they do every year. And that year, their Christmas cups were red and had nothing on them. They didn't say Merry Christmas. They didn't have like Christmas decor on them, anything like that. They were just red. And Starbucks said that they wanted to leave space for people to do art on them and create their own designs on them. I thought it was festive. They were a nice, bright Christmas red. But people started to freak out, and especially these provocateur type people, and say that Starbucks was intentionally not putting the word Christmas on their cups, and this was a war against Christmas.
You ruined Christmas!
We've heard that said too many times in our cultural wars, this war against Christmas. And so he encouraged people to go into Starbucks and to say that their name is Merry Christmas, so that the barista would be forced to write Merry Christmas on their cup. And that was our way of fighting against this war on Christmas, because that's what all good Christians should do.
Well, I decided, instead of simply boycotting, well, why don't we just start a movement? So when I went in and I asked for my coffee, they asked for my name, and I told them my name is Merry Christmas. So guess what, Starbucks? I tricked you into putting Merry Christmas on your cup. And I'm challenging all great Americans and Christians around this great nation, go into Starbucks and take your own coffee selfie.
Well, I thought it was really, really ridiculous. And so as I was taking a break from homework, as I was in seminary, I was sitting in a Starbucks with my bright red cup in front of me. And I took a picture of me with a cup, and I wrote a post on Facebook about how this is just so silly. And we should focus on important things like sharing the gospel and gospel hope and making a big deal about the Starbucks cups, or trying to get them to write Merry Christmas on them, is just a complete distraction from the things that are actually important. And people agreed, and that picture went viral, and it was all over, and it was kind of fun, you know, just like anything these days that go viral, it lasts for a very short amount of time. But my friends still joke about that. Well, here we are 10 years later, and we still have controversies that involve Starbucks. And I still think that these controversies are a distraction from the actual important things. Obviously, the last couple of weeks, the world has been consumed by Charlie Kirk's death. It is so tragic. And, you know, his memorial service was one of the most watched events in history. The gospel was shared. I'm thankful for that. But so many times these cultural moments bring out the best and the worst in people. And so what was happening right after Charlie Kirk's death is that there's this whole movement of people saying, "I am Charlie Kirk." And I think it was well-intended, but no, I would say that we want to be like Jesus, not like Charlie. But Charlie had some great, great things to celebrate. But as part of that movement, people started going into Starbucks and saying that their name was Charlie Kirk, so that the barista would have to write the name Charlie Kirk onto their cup. And I think that's an enormous waste of time. But it turned into this big controversy. One news article that came out that's being spread around was that Starbucks had banned that name from their computer system so that people signing up for their app couldn't use the name Charlie Kirk. So that was going around and people saying, oh, we need to boycott Starbucks because, you know, they're against this godly man. But it turns out that wasn't true. That was just a completely false story. Starbucks had never banned the name at all. And they came out and said that, you know, that it wasn't true. And I think they showed proof of that. And so there, Christians who were sharing that story were bearing false witness, right? And really being a distraction. Well, people kept on with that trend. And then there's a story going around about how someone who had used the name Charlie Kirk in the Starbucks, about how the barista wrote the word loser on the cup. And so they showed a picture of the cup. Well, it turns out that was a false story. That customer wrote the word loser themselves. Starbucks could look at their cameras in the store and see that it wasn't written by their barista before it was handed to the customer. And so that makes people who are trying to use this Charlie Kirk moment to share the gospel and to further the cause of Christ, it makes us look so foolish when we get on board with just foolish distractions like that. Well, so as people kept pushing that we have to go into Starbucks and make them use this name, and if they don't, we're going to flip out on them. It reminded me of another kind of cultural aspect that we are dealing with right now. It reminds me of pronouns. Right now, there's been the big raging debate over the last few years of using someone's preferred pronouns. And I generally say that we should not, because it is perpetuating a lie. And the argument behind that is it's forcing compelled speech. It's forcing us to say something that is not true. And we shouldn't be compelled to say something that's not true. Now, in the moment, if you feel like you need to use someone's preferred pronoun, if you're not in a place to correct them on their gender, I think that there's grace in that. But I don't think that our laws and our society should force people to say something that's not true, because that's coerced, forced speech. And so now we have this situation where conservatives, and maybe some of those conservatives are also Christians, are going into Starbucks and saying, my name is Charlie Kirk, and trying to force them to write that name on the cup or type it in the computer system so it prints out on the label. Do you know what that is? It is forced false speech. It is trying to force them to say something that they know is not true. It's just as ridiculous as trying to force us to use someone's pronouns that are not true. And it doesn't do anything for the cause of Christ, right? And I know that Starbucks has a lot of young people working for them who are confused about their sexuality and their gender. Sometimes when I go into a Starbucks, like, oh, I don't think there's any like actually cisgendered straight people working here. Right. But trying to force them to write Charlie Kirk on a cup is not going to do anything to bring them to Jesus and to actually have an impact on their life. But then when we create these controversies around it and conservatives get on board, and I've seen some of my Christian friends get on board, then it's this distraction that makes us look foolish. There was a case in the last couple of days where, another one of these posts going viral about how a Starbucks employee wrote something hateful on someone's cup when they made them write Charlie Kirk on it. And it turns out that was true, except for it wasn't an actual Starbucks employee. It was a Kroger employee. And so that they worked for Kroger in like one of the Starbucks stands in Kroger, the grocery store. And so Kroger fired that person, right, and apologized. But as that story was going around, I still saw people who I know who proclaimed the name of Jesus, who were like shouting, we need to not only boycott Starbucks, but boycott Kroger. It's like they fired the employee and they apologized. Like, what else do you want? You know, every organization, every employer who has thousands and tens of thousands of employees are going to have some bad apples, right? And so they fired this employee and they apologized. So us just perpetuating this just animosity towards Starbucks and Kroger because of what one of their employees did that was wrong is just absolutely foolish. It doesn't portray the gospel of forgiveness whatsoever. It's doing nothing to be salt and light in the world. So I think we need to put that foolishness behind us. We need to not get distracted by what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1 are just vain discussions, right? And having these distractions with Starbucks cups are nothing but vain discussions. There's more important things right now happening in our world. There are real battles to be fought right now. There's battles over ideology. Isaiah 1:18 says this, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." All right, so we want the blood of Jesus to wash over his people, right? And part of that ministry to them is reasoning with them. We need to reason against these ideologies that are holding us captive in our culture. Sometimes reasoning happens individually with people that we know. We care for them. We love for them. We share the gospel with them. We try to understand what they're believing. And some of that comes more in the public sphere with public debates. We reason and we discern the truth and we convince people of the truth. We expose acts of evil and darkness. In Erica Kirk's speech she gave at Charlie's memorial, which was so powerful on forgiveness, she mentioned the lost boys, an entire generation of boys that are being lost to false ideologies. I have parents in my parents' ministry who have dealt with this, where their boys have actually disappeared or their minds have been captivated by ideologies, usually transgenderism, that have been just devastating for them. They need us to fight for them. We need to reason with people. We need to enter their lives and understand the lies that they've been believing so we can proclaim gospel truth. The stakes are high, and the stakes are too high for us to be distracted by something like Starbucks cups or trying to force them to write Charlie Kirk's name on them. So stop being distracted, and let's figure out what are the important battles to fight. We need to fight for our kids. There's teenage girls everywhere who are claiming to be non-binary because they're desperate for acceptance, and that's how they can be more accepted. There's boys being captivated by trans ideology because they're desperate for an escape from their problems, and they're being groomed online that this is where you can belong. We have a generation of boys who are told that white males are the cause of society's problems. So they are trying to change genders to escape that because they don't want to be oppressors who are the cause of society's problems. That's an ideology we need to be fighting against. So we need to be reasoning. We need to try to understand what's happening so we can speak truth into the right places. I see kids every day who think that their identity should be in the sexual desires that they're having. And that is an ideology worth going to battle over. We see Side B Christianity that says that you can be gay and be Christian and that your identity evolves around that. That's an ideology we should be fighting over. The answer is always Jesus. We live in a world right now that is desperate for hope. Gen Z is asking questions. Use this moment to give them answers, and answers that are rooted in biblical truth. There's a lot of trans ideology that's being exposed right now. They are desperate. My friend Linda, who has written some really great blog posts on my website you should check out, wrote one about cults a while back and about how transgender ideology has the 12 markings of a cult. And towards the end of the life cycle of a cult is violence as they're getting exposed. And right now in our culture, transgender ideology is being exposed and they are getting violent. It's no wonder that the Minneapolis school shooter was transgender. The assassin, Tyler Robinson, who shot Charlie Kirk, was dating a transgender a man pretending to be a woman and was very influenced by that ideology. And what they're being fed is that us conservatives are hateful, that we want to kill them, that they need to fight back. A while back, I shared in a different video this magazine cover from a magazine in Oregon. This was just this summer, on how transgender people are picking up arms to fight back against, you know, conservatism because they feel like their lives are threatened. That is an absolute lie, and it's an ideology we need to stand against, right? We have some big work to do in our culture. We have some big moments right now. There's big conversations, big questions, real hurt and pain, and we have an opportunity to step into it and share the hope of the gospel, to share the hope of Jesus, to share what is true, and that should come from God's word. So let's use discernment over what battles are worth fighting, what battles are real gospel battles for truth, which battles are just sidetracks and distractions that the enemy would love to use to ruin our witness, to ruin relationships, to make us look foolish and get our eyes off the mission. One of those distractions is Starbucks. So let's move on and focus on some important questions being asked in providing people with gospel hope. I pray and hope that this is encouraging to you. Make sure you go to calibrateministries.com for more resources. Please let me know if there's anything I can do to help you. We appreciate your support of this ministry. We are, Calibrate Ministries is funded by donors, and so we appreciate your support. If there's anything that I can do for you, please let me know. Thank you.